The June 18th, 2020 Planning and Zoning Meeting, Commission Meeting to order. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell.
Here.
Mr. Tui.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Carroll.
Here.
Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
May I get a...
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank
Second.
You. Thank you. Second by Mr. McMahon. I'll take a thumbs up for approval of the agenda. Looks unanimous. Everyone should have gotten a copy of the June 4th regular meeting minutes. Were there any adjustments or modifications to those?
I move to approve those minutes.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. I'll take thumbs up on the approval of the meeting minutes. Looks unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to our first public hearing of the evening, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of T. Vine Enterprises, Inc. to rezone two parcels from R1 to A. Agriculture. The property is addressed 6114 North Oakland Gravel Road. May we get a staff? We'll do recusing before or after the staff report?
It'd be before.
Before. So.
Madam Chair, I need to recuse myself from this case.
Thank you, Mr. Tui. Are there any other commissioners who would like to? I see none. May we get a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The request before you is a potential rezoning map amendment from R1 to Ag for two undeveloped 10.5-acre lots. The southeastern line of this property follows Bear Creek and also separates these lots from the parent parcel of a track split. As seen in this aerial, the western to the west is a developed subdivision, to the north is horse fair stables, and to the east is a 9-acre lot that contains a barn and a single family home. To the south, across the wooded tract, is Atkins Park. The property was zoned R1 when annexed into the city in 2007. In coordination with R1 zoning, a preliminary plat was produced that proposed approximately 50 single-family homes on this site, as well as an additional 100 single-family lots across the floodplain of Bear Creek. The preliminary plat did not materialize and has since expired. More recently, the site underwent a replat last year, which created these two 10.5-acre lots and dedicated a trail easement along Bear Creek. Approximately half of this total acreage is within the floodplain. This map is taken from the 2013 Parks and Rec Master Plan. And as you can see through this site, there's a proposed tertiary trail for Bear Creek Trail that runs through here. Ultimately, this is an extension that goes alongside Atkins Park through the fairgrounds. It connects to an existing part of the trail to the south. The future land use map designates this site as open space, greenbelt, and neighborhood district. Atkins Park to the south is zoned R1. The western, northern, and eastern properties are outside city limits and zoned as County RS. While the County RS zoning is essentially equivalent to the city R1 zoning, there's a distinction to make in the allowed uses. That is, the County RS zoning allows for agricultural use and the keeping of horses, while the city's R1 zoning does not. Annexation in R1 zoning, in anticipation of a more intense residential development, basically restricted the property's right to farm or carry livestock. The size and characteristics of these undeveloped lots is typical for farmettes, which are commonly found in the area. The requested ag zoning would allow the opportunity to establish an agricultural use and raise, care for, and keep livestock. And I believe the applicant is here today and may be able to talk more about what the agricultural use would grant them. While not contained within the UDC, Chapter 5 of the City Code does address and have provisions for the density of livestock and proximity to other sites. Facilitating farmettes or other agricultural-based development would coincide with the comprehensive plan's objectives to encourage environmentally friendly development and preserve green space while ensuring diverse and attractive housing within the urban services area. Given the site's characteristics, market conditions, and consistency with the comprehensive plan, as well as the provisions of Chapter 5, staff finds that the rezoning would facilitate the site to be utilized in a manner consistent with its surroundings. Staff recommends approving the zoning map amendment from R1 to Ag. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Before we ask staff any questions, I'd like to ask any commissioner who has had any expertise prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of the case in front of us. Seeing none, was there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Kelly, am I correct in my memory of the city's agricultural districts that these plats would allow a second home on these? Is that correct?
Yeah, pursuant to a conditional use permit. Yes, sir.
And that is conditional use. That gets me to where I was headed on the, and if you don't know this because I can't remember, I'm sorry, on right-of-ways, is there a curb cut limitation on these lots?
I think you're correct. I don't think they would allow a private drive on this. I believe it's a neighborhood collector, if you're referring to North Oakland Gravel
Drive.
Right,
so there would be, each of these lots would have one drive then? Do we know? I don't know the answer to this question, because we don't deal with ag very often. I'm trying to inform myself for now and in the future.
I'm not certain, Pat. Can you apply to that?
I cannot recall, Mr. McMahon, as it related to the platting.
Well, the reason I ask this question is, having grown up and lived in areas that have these style of farmettes, as we're calling them here, the second home usually means can mean a second driveway, and the use of animals might even mean a third driveway, you know, to service a barn or bring animals in and out. Sometimes it's just one, but that's a very common thing with this type of use.
Given that North Oakland Gravel in this particular location, if I'm not incorrect, is actually a county-maintained road.
I think that is correct, yes.
All driveway encroachment permitting would be subject to their requirements, not necessarily the city's. So I would have to defer to the Boone County Resource Management staff, and I don't know their regulations.
Okay. Mr. Kelly, do we have I did not mean to cut you up. I'm sorry. We have any annexation triggers, like right in this area? Do we know?
No. This property was annexed, as indicated, back in 2007.
But any of these lots, like up to the right, we don't have anything. We have nothing coming in right away up here, right?
Oh, no. No, okay. Not at all.
I'm looking out for CATSO, like we just discussed. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kelly and Mr. Zenner. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions for staff? I just had one clarification following up on Mr. McMahon's question about an additional unit. Was it a conditional use permit? Just checking. I'm seeing that two contiguous residential lots may be created in this district. The creation of an additional lot requires rezoning to R1 and approval of a subdivision? They can do two within the A, and if they want to do more than that, then that would have to go to R1. But is there a conditional use? I thought two houses were allowed in A.
I believe you could have two on A, but the second one would require, was conditional when I was looking at the table. But
so a second primary dwelling unit on an ag lot is permitted. That's permitted in the ag, and generally it would be associated potentially with a farmhand or somebody else. If you wanted to divide the property into more than two residential lots in the ag zoning district, we look at that as a residential. The third lot would constitute a residential subdivision, further cutting away at the integrity of larger acreage parcels that facilitate farming. So. You know, you may take a 5-acre tract of land. The minimum land requirement for A is 2.5 to grow or handle animals, livestock, and crops. So you could take that 5-acre, divide it into two. We'd allow you to do that. But if you want to take that then 5 acres and divide it into three, you got to rezone to an R1 subdivision in order to do it, because you're whittling down the agricultural nature of the A district too far at that point.
Right. Here it says 2.5 acres is the minimum lot for an A district, only one principal dwelling and one second principal dwelling allowed on each lot. So, yeah. Just to be clear, Mr. McMahon.
Just a point of clarity. That second primary, as it's listed in there, that's an odd way to list that. That does not require a replat. That's a by right action for them, right?
That is correct.
Correct. All right.
Mother-in-laws, who goes there, Pat?
Topic for another
principal
discussion.
Principal dwelling. Any additional questions? I see none. We will open up the floor for public comment. If anyone has any comments they would like to provide on this case, please come up to the podium and provide your name and address for the record.
I'm David Butcher. I'm with Crockett Engineering. I'm not going to approach the podium because I think
we need you in the microphone, I'm afraid.
All right, I'll step up here a little closer. I just don't want to have to disinfect everything. Are we good?
A little bit closer.
All right, we'll do it.
Right there.
So you have to stay in your seat tonight. All right, so I'm here on behalf of T-Vine. I'm David Butcher. I'm the land surveyor that's working on this. The purpose of our request tonight is really so that this property, this 10-acre parcel, would compete in the world with the other 10-acre parcels out there. These parcels are not allowed to have a horse at this time. They've had lots of people with interest that would like to have horses on these properties, but since we can't have the horses, they've decided they walk away from it and they go somewhere else in the county. So because this is a county maintained road, because it's basically nestled in the county, we would like to downzone it so that we can accommodate that. I don't know anything about the second dwelling. I don't think that's part of the request. I understand that would come with it, but that's not the intent for what we're trying to accomplish. So I'm here if you have any questions.
Any questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you. Yes. I think a little bit closer, and your name and address for the record.
My name is Yuval Awazu. I'm at 6120 North Oakland Gravel Road, which is that triangle on the right side of the property there. And I have no problem with, you know, horses being there. But if, you know, it'd be great if there's a way to limit it to horses. I mean, if it was like hogs or, you know, other animals, especially that being a very low floodplain area, I could see, like, you know, waste going into the Bear Creek there that you wouldn't want, you know. So that was, I guess that's the only thing I would be concerned with. I mean, you know, I'd love to have horses there. I don't care, you know.
Thank you. Are questions for the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
If I may, I'd like to redirect for you. Mr. Zenner, it's my recollection in Chapter 5 that hogs are not permitted. Like meat production type stuff?
I mean, the raising or care of livestock, which a hog would be considered livestock, I can't speak to the fact if they are or they aren't. We do have regulations, though, that do deal with density, the number of animals, placement of features such as manure piles and things of that nature, which are handled by our environmental health staff, not ours. So if somebody came in and was going to be seeking to do some type of animal operation, growing, just not grazing horses, they're likely going to need to go through another level of review as it relates to that from the health side. So I think the concerns that you may have as it relates to the environmental impacts, those are addressed through other regulatory measures.
So if someone wanted like five hogs,
Based on, I think, the acreage calculations we were looking at, it's how many acres per horse?
I think it's a half acre per horse, which is, oh. Yeah, so I think it'd be limited to 42 if it's utilizing this entire acreage, but for both 10-acre sites or 11-acre sites.
However, to Mr. McMahon's point, there may be other regulatory provisions in play that I'm not familiar with that would limit other types of livestock, chickens and things of that nature for hatcheries or something along that. Those actually, when you look at animal production facilities that you may be doing slaughtering or things of that nature on the property, that is not permitted in the ag district. That is actually more of an industrial use.
To add on to what Mr. Zinner is saying, concerning like concentrated feeding operations, that's something that the Missouri Department of Natural Resources has regulations for, specifically like in terms of siting near houses, schools, that type of thing. There's like minimum distance, property letters. And then in addition to that, they also look at floodplain as a consideration. So they're kind of taking into fact the drainage and kind of the stuff that you're mentioning as well.
So, but if someone wanted to have, let's say, the same amount of hogs that you could have horses, that would be allowable?
From my understanding, yes.
What's that? You know, like horses, I'm cool with. So,
back over to Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon.
Just to let you know, I would thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Zinner. I would suggest that you follow up specifically with the city. Which department is that, Pat?
Environmental Health.
And check with Environmental Health. They are not, my understanding is that meat production like that is not allowed. But I don't have it in front of me, and it's been a while since I've read it. I would strongly suggest that you follow up with them about your concerns to animal ratios. Animal ratios are usually based upon, he said 42 horses on this lot. Horses are bigger than hogs, so you can divide by weight type thing. That's usually how divisors go. But again, I would check with our folks at the relevant office to get your questions. But I'm almost positive, and I cannot speak for them exactly, but they cannot have a meat production operation there. That's a whole, it's industrial use. They've got to get rezoned and get permitted in the whole nine yards. I appreciate your concern because this, a lot of the agricultural property in the city is not used for anything, maybe occasional grazing. And I was asking questions, and the chair was asking questions. So, like, we should really kind of inform ourselves in this a little bit because we don't deal with it very often. But thanks for coming up.
Thank you. Any more speakers on this case?
Dockin, 804 Aiken Street. And this is just a comment. Anytime, as someone who follows the confined animal feeding and DNR, anyone who states as reassurance that DNR is controlling this or regulating this, it is super lax. There's no inspections. The Clean Water Commission is stacked. I mean, there was just a ruling today or yesterday, I think, that it's okay for them just to put industry in there. So I just think we should be cautious saying DNR has got it covered because that's not really the case.
Thank you, Ms. Dockin. Mr. McMahon?
If I may, thank you, Ms. Dockin. The reason I brought up with going with the relevant city organization, because I've lived in rural Missouri, and I have friends who still live near these places. The county's hands are tied for sure. I think you have more protections in the cities. But again, I would suggest you follow up with the city about how that zoning goes. But I'm almost positive they have to either get a conditional use permit and a whole, maybe even rezoning to have animal production there. Personal use is one thing. You can raise a hog. We can raise chickens here in town. But for sale, that's a whole.
Mr. Chairman, the site here is one we've seen recently. They recently did another major amendment to create some single family lots. And we're back here to reduce the building separation on the site, which is spelled out in the statement of intent. So it's a statement of intent revision, but then also revising the PD plan to be consistent with a reduced separation distance. Again, this was a public hearing item, so there was advanced public info postcards sent out and it was advertised. This is the site again, may look familiar. It's in the old Hawthorne subdivision off of old Hawthorne Drive. West. It's a little tighter view. You can see some of the current construction there. generally the piece that we'll be talking about is, or the site that will have the most effect by this building distance reduction will be there in the southwest corner, the undeveloped site there that's outside of Bunker Loop. On the right is the plan we just recently approved. It created the five single-family lots on the interior of Bunker Loop. On the left, you can see the building form has changed a little bit, and that lot that was shown on the previous plan is now subdivided, similar to how the other lots have been subdivided over time on the rest of the site, so it would be very similar to what we've seen. And part of that then is a reduction from 16 feet between buildings being permitted down to 12 feet. In essence, this is going to affect the unbuilt portions because the rest of them are currently built. So it will be effective on the single-family lots. The 12 feet separation coincides really with a 12 feet or a cumulative 12 feet side yard setback in our standard single-family district. So that's fairly consistent. The building on the on the lower left, the southwest corner there, again, would, you know, it's a single family attached in this kind of configuration. Generally, it would be a wider distance. 12 feet would be, again, the single family standard, but without given the kind of limited scope of this change and that it is a fairly low density building form there, we didn't think this was going to have a largely detrimental impact on this development. The other change they did was to update the plan to reflect the street tree revision that we recently did that took out the requirement for street trees along streets such as Old Hawthorne West. So in general, we are recommending approval of the statement of intent revision and the update to the on the 9th PD plan to be consistent with that. So it would reduce that building distance from 16 to 12 feet. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Are there any, oh, before we move to questions, I'd like to ask commissioners if there's anyone has had any ex parte related to this case to please disclose that now so we all have the same information in front of us. Seeing none, is there any questions for staff? Ms. Rushing.
I noticed that the intent is to preserve 40% in green space, and the developed portion and including the new three units, is that correct?
Correct.
Occupy a lot of concrete. Is there going to be substantial green space in the undeveloped area?
Yeah, as you can see, I think in the northern portion, there's a fairly substantial
green space. Yeah, there's a little tiny part, and then...
Yeah.
But it looks like the green space along the east side is not on this property.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, that little triangle up there doesn't look like 40%.
Well, we have the numbers on here, so I can double check on what they're showing as open space calculation. Because I think I cut that off on ours.
Yeah, what you've shown shows their old plan on that, the semicircle area.
Right.
My understanding that's now five single-family lots.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the middle there in the interior mm-hmm. Bunker Loop. And so the plan here on the left, which I didn't capture in the screenshot, my apologies, is pervious surface would still be about 57%. And we do have to do some estimations because we don't have a specific footprint for the single-family, but we use a common number to kind of come up with that. But they... according to those calculations, they're well within the 40% minimum of open space.
Any additional questions, Ms. Rushing? Any additional questions? Mr. Smith, I had this could be housekeeping, but I was wondering about the 28th unit.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The 28th unit.
28th unit.
like the third man. Where did it go? So the original plan, we had a fourplex,
yes,
or four, mm-hmm, and we went to three. So one unit moved somewhere.
Correct.
Where?
They eliminated it. So is it still captured on the plan?
It's still captured in the density calculations.
Okay. That was probably an oversight.
So it's 27 units now. All right.
Yeah, one unit was eliminated, so we'd have to look at that and get that updated, but we could probably do that.
If there's no additional questions for staff, we'll open up the floor to public comment. Please give your name and address for the record.
I'm David Butcher with Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I do have a question about our density. We may have had a fourplex in that D, and now we have five single-family lots, taking one unit from across the street into that D instead of, because originally that had a fourplex on it, I believe.
It had two fourplexes.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
So we've already reduced it once, and all right, then that's just an error of oversight. We'll get it fixed.
You're saying the two fourplexes that it is showing are the ones that you're planning to build?
No, everything is already built out on this property with the exception of the darkened highlighted threeplex that's at the southwest corner, and then the single family lots that have already been platted. Those single family lots will end up with a house on them.
Okay, so they'll each have a single house.
Yes, in the circle, in the D shape.
So what fourplex are you talking about?
Originally, the plan prior to this had fourplexes in that.
Right, right.
So we've reduced that so that it's just
correct,
those single family,
yeah, okay,
homes. Anyway, this is a housekeeping matter, really. Our objective is just to reduce that to match the normal single family residential style. And it was an oversight on my part that we had that in the regulation on the statement of intent from originally. So the objective is just to allow us to build a little those homes in there like anyone else would on the rest of the single family lots. Clear. Kind of juggling a little bit in my verbiage here.
Are there any questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you. Are there any other speakers on this case? Seeing none, we will close public comments, commissioner discussion. Mr. McMahon?
A housekeeping notice here. I'd like to thank the chair for the Graham Greene reference. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So the real issue is the setbacks, correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right. There's no further discussion. Ms. Russell?
All right. In the, I'll make a motion. In the case of 121-2020, on the ninth PD plan amendment, I move to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Burns. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Mr. McMahon?
Just real quick and more seriously this time. I just a heads up, in the future I will be generally supportive of anything that reduces lot size. Just FYI. Thanks.
Any additional comments? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That closes our cases for the evening. Moves us to public comments. Any additional public comments? Seeing none, moves us to staff comments.
As you can see, and as Ms. Burns provided a farewell to Mr. Rusty Strautman, our most current former planning commissioner, On behalf of staff, I would like to acknowledge publicly this evening, not knowing what council's action was going to be on Monday of this week, our heartfelt appreciation for his years of service, his leadership as chairman, and his being on board with us on a number of our more challenging topics that we have covered over the years. He will be a sorely missed addition to our fold. However, we do have a new commissioner who will be beginning on July 9th with us. I cannot pronounce her middle name. It is Sharon Jones, but she goes by a middle name and a last name, so it's not hyphenated either. So we will get to meet Sharon at our next meeting. I will just call her Sharon for today. And I have reached out to her already, and she is familiarizing herself with our materials. So when she does show up for our work session, be gentle. And we will bring her into the fold as quickly as we can with all of our additional topics. But again, it is with my greatest appreciation for Mr. Strautman's service, and we will definitely wish him best as he moves on back into private life. As far as for what we have coming up, we do have can you move the slides? We do have a meeting on July 9th, and that will occur at 5:30 in our regular location. It will then also be followed by a regular work session at 5:30 with our regular meeting at 7:30 here. You will have meal service. There is one item on the agenda. It is a rezoning to plan district, which is not familiar. We normally are going in the opposite direction. This is a piece of property off of Green Meadows that is immediately adjacent to the Rockbridge Christian Church. It is the triangular piece that is out on the point between Green Meadows Circle and Green Meadows. They are looking at a smaller lot, single-family detached, if I recall correctly, product in the PD, utilizing more of a common driveway system. And Mr. Palmer will be providing the staff report for that. There was an additional item on our agenda that was withdrawn at this point to allow for some additional review, so we would have had one additional item. So this should be a relatively, I'd say, quick meeting. Depends on how well the public has been reached out to prior to coming for public hearing. The Greenbrier neighborhood, as well as some of our other residential neighborhoods in this particular area, are generally very active. There has been concern expressed with prior plan district proposals on this site, which were not residential, that generated quite significant public engagement. So just to familiarize yourself with where this particular property is located, if you can't understand from my description, Green Meadows Circle to the north and then Green Meadows Drive on the south. And this is probably less than a quarter of a mile from Murray's. So everybody knows where Murray's is. But that is your only item on the agenda. As we discussed during work session this evening, our next work session on July 9th will be a continuation of the discussion we had this evening as it relates to the comprehensive plan update and how we are going to be dealing with and refining our survey instruments that we discussed generally this evening. So if you will, please do not discard your work session materials you received. We will not be reproducing them for you, and we may supplement it with amended sheets, but given the fact that it's a lot of color and we would like you to just maybe mark it up and come with your notes and then hand them over to us so we can figure out what you actually truly had to say about our work, as well as analyze your handwriting. But nonetheless, we'd like you to keep that to save us a little bit of money. We are trying to potentially resolve our issue with laptops for the work sessions, or not work sessions, but for this meeting. With the low volume of cases that we have been bringing forward to you, producing the printed packet has not been an issue. But if you are not wanting it, if you are going to bring your own laptop and connect to the guest Wi-Fi, I'd greatly appreciate being notified of that in advance so I do not have to produce the additional packets. Obviously, you personally have all probably been affected by COVID and the pandemic. The city has been as well, and therefore our resources are becoming tighter and tighter, and if we can reduce expenditures and having to copy packets for you, we'd greatly appreciate that if at all possible. But we do realize you're accustomed to seeing stuff in front of you on a laptop, hence the reason why we have produced the packets for you up to this point. But if you will bring your own laptops, you're more than welcome to. Or if you need a printed packet, please just let me know. If there are any of the commissioners that are going to be taking breaks for our summer months as we are getting into the summer season of vacations, please let Ms. Lowe and I know so we can properly plan for that in the way of quorum. If not, I appreciate your attendance and your continued support of what we do here with the city and for its citizens. With that, that's all I have to say for this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner Cummins. Mr. Stanton. Mr. McMahon.
Just real quick, a housekeeping point. I'd like to thank Commissioner Russell for mentioning something. She said she was having a hard time hearing me in the work session, and I will speak up. I just wanted to let you know the folks on the other end, of course, Pat, I can hear fine, but the other staff members who speak in a more normative tone, I was having difficulty hearing them. I just wasn't cognizant. I'm always afraid I'm speaking too loudly. So thank you for saying something. I'll try to stand up or project more or something.
Mr. Stanton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to address our current city environment and the importance of, you know, we don't really address police brutality or anything directly in this commission, but the decisions that we do make concerning land use and neighborhood protections and all that will be part of the solution. So as we go through cases, especially when it deals with this decisions that we make, I ask my commission to help us with the bigger picture. These young folks that are out here, I wear this shirt, it's Bag Chasers. This is a group of young men that knew each other all their lives. They were out and protest and rallies, and they started a business, and they felt like this was their solution to help bring together their fellow community members and help their community. So I'm supporting them, and I need you guys support in helping heal some things. You know, I've addressed a lot of issues, especially when we were talking about the weed ordinances and security and all of that. I try not to cry about, but this is a reality for me all the time. And I just want you to, you know, we don't have to agree all the time. Just listen when I say things that address my community directly. It's real. If you don't know it's real by now, these young people out here will let you know how real it will be. And when it comes to this comprehensive plan that we're going to go and we're going to have, we're going to create a progress report on. We had a very good discussion and work session. I will be encouraging my fellow neighbors and the community to get more involved, because this is the plan on how we're going to shape the city. And then a lot more things will come into light and people will become more involved. And they will have less patience. And it's not our fault, per se, the process. So we need to do our thing in our little groups and our peer groups to allow people to understand what we do on this side and how it affects them directly and how we can help them become more informed, more involved in city policy, land use. A lot of these youngsters and a lot of old people don't really realize how land use and land use policy affects policing, neighborhood development. And it's very surprising. Your zip code may determine your future. So we need to think that and be cognizant of that as we make land use policies in the future. And hopefully we can be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Just to amend, not amend, but add to that, one of the things I've been hearing on the street or being is becoming active or getting the vote out, you know, starting to, and showing up here in the council room. But I have to admit, my thought also went to participating. So we're all volunteers, and we need more people volunteering to see. We're stronger together. So any additional comments? Mr. McMahon?
If we do not, I don't want to cut anybody off. If there are no further comments, I have a motion. I move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We're adjourned.